بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 16th of January in the year 2021 الحمد لله we moved on to the second night that we're going through the exalted life of the illustrious companion Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu anhu. And in the previous session, I mentioned his immense lineage, i.e. that he was the grandson of both Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu and Safiya, the paternal aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his immediate parents were a great influence on his upbringing, i.e. Zubair, one of the ten promised paradise, and Asma, Abu Bakr's daughter. But also not forgetting, his honorable grandparents were very instrumental in his growth. So note, he was surrounded by giants, the great Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu. And the last thing I mentioned was that he was born in Quba, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done tahniq for him and blessed him and made a dua. Indeed, it was in the blessed dwelling of Zubair radiyallahu that this memorable incident of the Holy Prophet blessing him, not his birth, took place. So this is important. He wasn't born in Zubair's dwelling, but the Holy Prophet blessed him in Zubair's dwelling. So don't confuse the two. Where's the proof? In Tirmidhi, number 3852, Hasan Gharib, Mishkat, volume 4, number 156, in the chapter on the companions in general, our beloved mother Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw the light of a lantern in the house of Zubair radiallahu anha, and he said, Ya Aishatu, ma ura asma'a illa qad nufisat fala tusammuhu hatta usammiyahu. O Aisha radiallahu anha, I do not see Asma, but a child is now born to her. Do not name him till I give him a name. Then he named him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah radiallahu anhu, chewed a date and thereupon rubbed the moistened date on the child's palate. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So what does it clearly say? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a light in whose dwelling? Zubair radiallahu anhu. And he said to his wife Aisha, I believe that Asma, your sister, has now been blessed with a son. Do not name him till I name him. Meaning that name was given to him by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then of course he did the tahriq. With regards to the date that was used, our beloved mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, we looked for a while before we found one. We looked for a while before we found the date. This is in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, number 5616. So look how you get this impression, you're in Al-Madinah, you're going to have dates everywhere. But they took a while to find a day, meaning look how austere they were living. That day, you know, it wasn't readily available to give to Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu. In Sahih Bukhari, Muslim in his Sahih, number 5616, Asma radiallahu anha said, then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam patted him, supplicated for him, and named him Abdullah. So he rubbed him affectionately, the young child, made a dua for him and called him Abdullah. So now why did he call him Abdullah? So there's a famous hadith. The famous hadith is in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, call your children after the prophets. And there are two names that are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. So three things the Prophet mentioned in this hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Name your children after the prophets, meaning the sons. And if you use another name, use those two names, Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. So this is why the Sahaba, many of them called their children Abdullah. And the Prophet himself called Abdullah, the son of Zubair, Abdullah. His father was called Abdullah, the Prophet's father, radiyallahu. So note, it's an auspicious name. And names affect the people. If you have a strange name, it will affect the person. Many reports indicate this. In another narration in Sahih Bukhari, it adds the believers felt very happy at the birth of Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu. Why? Because it had gone around that the Jews had cast a spell on the Muslims, and now no children could be born to them. The birth of Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu gave a lie to this, and the enemies of Islam who had circulated the story were put to shame. So note, the Prophet has just migrated to Al-Madinah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and look at the Bani Israel. They're looking for opportunities, any opportunity in which to attack the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to harm the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And straight away, the witchcraft failed. They did do something, but it was notified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, the joyous believers thereupon in joy carried the newborn baby and went around with him throughout the streets of Al-Madinah calling out Takbir. So why were they so happy? Because as if to say to the Jews, what happened? So they're going around the holy city saying, look, a child has been born, named by the Prophet, tahniq by the Prophet, blessed by the Prophet, supplicated by the Prophet, what happened to your witchcraft? Hence, putting it simply, upon his blessed birth, Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu was given the following four honors. Number one, the first thing to enter his body was the Holy Prophet's saliva. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invoking blessings upon him. Number three, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself naming him Abdullah radiallahu anhu. And number four, upon his birth, the lies and deceit of the Jews were exposed. Subhanallah, such was the blessed day on which Abdullah ibn Zubair came into this world, radiallahu anhu. So now just to add this. So Asma, she migrated when she was pregnant and she gave birth to Abdullah ibn Zubair in Quba. But where was Zubair? Right? So you look at another report. And the other report says that he was on a business trip. And in Sahih Bukhari, it mentions that on his way back from the business trip, as fate would have it, he bumped into the Prophet and Abu Bakr. And he gave him some clothes. So look how strange. There were assassins after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were trying to, you know, a'udhu billah, finish him and Abu Bakr off. And Zubair is coming back from, you know, no intention whatsoever. He bumps into the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he actually gives them a, you know, a set of clothing, one to the Prophet and one to his father-in-law, Abu Bakr. So look how interesting. Asma, she's migrating by herself. And she gives birth to Abdullah ibn Zubair in Quba. And on the same blessed hijrah, Zubair is coming back from a business. And he bumps into the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, again, all this is not coincidence. This was to honor the family of Zubair. They wanted to have a, you know, an honor with the hijrah. They had all had a connection to the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So moving on to the next section. Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu's childhood during the lifetime of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is very easy to work out. How many years did the Prophet spend in Medina before he passed away?
10 years.
So how old was Abdullah ibn Zubair when the Prophet passed away?
10.
Very easy to work out. So the entire lifetime of the Prophet, he's a child. So no matter what time you're talking, don't ever think he's adult. Right? He was 10 years old max when the Prophet passed away. So let's look at what, where he's mentioned. His intimate contact with the Prophet during his childhood granted him the rock-solid foundations on which his whole blessed life would be based. So let's mention a few things. First, his pledge of allegiance to our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a glimpse into his bravery. In Nasa'i, Jam'ul Fawa'id, volume 1, page 14, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 443-4 of the New English Translation, it is related. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zubair and Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Ja'far, radiyallahu anhu, both went to pledge their allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they were only 7 years of age. When he saw the two of them, he smiled. He stretched out his hands and he accepted their pledges. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So how old is Abdullah ibn Zubair? 7. Meaning, it's the 7th year of Hijrah. Abdullah ibn Ja'far, So who's this? So Abdullah ibn Ja'far's father is Ja'far. Ja'far is Ali's brother. So Ja'far, Abdullah ibn Ja'far's father, is the cousin of Rasulullah. So Abdullah ibn Ja'far is the cousin's son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His first cousin's son. Abdullah ibn Ja'far was born in Abyssinia. Ja'far went to Abyssinia and his wife gave birth and they called him, you guessed it, Abdullah. There you go, Abdullah. Abdullah ibn Ja'far. So his father came back in which year to Medina? 7 AH. So what's happened? Ja'far's come back after spending, you know, many years in Abyssinia with his family now. So the Prophet seen his son for the first time. And what did Ja'far say to his son? Go and give your pledge to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Pledge of what? 7 years old. So Zubair is also there. How old is his son? 7. They're both the same age. He goes, you give your pledge to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obviously the pledge isn't for jihad or because they're only children. So when the Prophet saw the 2 7-year-olds coming, he smiled. He stretched out his hand and he accepted their pledges. Asma further clarified, radiyallahu anh, in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim number 5616, when he was 8 years old, he came and swore allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his father Zubair told him to do this, radiyallahu anh. Rasulullah smiled sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he saw him coming to him and he accepted his oath of allegiance to him. Now think about that. What did I mention about children? This is part of their training. You give them, you give them responsibilities. Give them a kunyat, Abu Hamza. Now the Prophet is accepting pledge of allegiance. He didn't say, you don't need to give pledges to the child. And then what happens? He thinks he's a child. He'll think he's do la la land. Right? You encourage them. Right? MashaAllah, yes, give your pledge. MashaAllah, Allahu Akbar. You've given a pledge. That psychologically is helping them as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was demonstrating this. So Abdullah ibn Ja'far radiyallahu anhu, his father was martyred 1 year later in the Battle of Mu'tah. He was the second commander. Remember, Zayd ibn al-Haritha was martyred first. Then Ja'far takes the command, he's martyred. Then Abdullah ibn Rawaha, he's martyred in Sahih Bukhari. When Ja'far was martyred, Abdullah ibn Ja'far was an orphan now. His father's passed away. So the Prophet ﷺ treated him like his own grandson. There's a beautiful hadith where he was once going and he saw his grandsons, Hassan and Hussein, and Abdullah ibn Ja'far. And the Prophet picked up Abdullah ibn Ja'far first. He was pick him up first. And he placed him in front of the camel. And he put his own 2 grandsons at the back. And they entered Medina like this. So why was the Prophet showing so much love, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to Abdullah ibn Ja'far? Because he's the son of a martyr. Abdullah ibn Ja'far later married the granddaughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at all these things, we don't have no connection with these people. Somebody goes, which granddaughter? Right? Hazrat Ali and Fatima, radiyallahu anhuma, they were blessed with 3 sons and 3 daughters. So those 3 sons and 3 daughters of Ali and Fatima, how they relate to the Prophet? So the 3 sons and daughters of Ali and Fatima are the grandchildren of the Prophet. The sons are famous. If you don't know that, then you might as well put your bags up, right? Hassan, Hussein, and Muhsin, who died young. The 3 daughters, Zainab, Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum. And what's interesting, Fatima, she named her 3 daughters after her sisters. So you got the daughters of the Prophet, Zainab, Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum, Fatima. Fatima loved her sisters. So she named her 3 daughters after her sisters. So Allah Ta'ala has made it easy for you. So who are the 3 daughters? Zainab, Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum. Who did they marry? See, we don't need. So these are the granddaughters of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Zainab eventually married Abdullah ibn Ja'far. So he became the grandson-in-law of who? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Umm Kulthum also married Abdullah ibn Ja'far. Why? Because one of the sisters died. And then he married the other granddaughter of the Prophet. So think about that. So he's Like just like Uthman radiallahu anhu was the possessor of two lights, because he married two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Ja'far is also the possessor of two lights, because he married two granddaughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also Kulthum's first husband was Umar, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Sayyidina Umar married Kulthum, which the Rawafid can't get their heads around. So note, Abdullah ibn Zubayr and Abdullah ibn Ja'far the same age. So don't you think the Prophet is going to show love and affection to him as well? Abdullah ibn Zubayr was bold and daring even in his childhood. For instance, it is related that our beloved messenger was once seen affectionately conversing with Abdullah ibn Ja'far, Abdullah ibn Zubayr and Amr ibn Abi Salama radiyallahu ta'ala. Someone then said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you were to take their allegiance, they would receive your blessing, it would naturally confer honor to them. Thus they were brought to him, and they seem shy or afraid. But Abdullah ibn Zubayr rushed forward in order to be the first of them, upon which Rasulullah smiled and said, he is indeed his father's son. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani in his Al-Isaba, number 4685, or volume 4, page 80, Al-Bidayah, in the chapter on the Khalifa of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. So again, three names. So these are three children. Who are the three? Abdullah ibn Ja'far, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, and Amr ibn Abi Salama. So who is this? So this is again, oh, here we got this one strange. He's not strange. You need to know who this person is. Who is Abu Salama? Abu Salama was the first husband of Salama, the mother of the believers. Abu Salama was the cousin of Rasulullah. So let's break this down. So Abu Salama and Rasulullah are cousins. How? Abu Salama's mother, Barra, and Rasulullah's father are brother and sister. So Abu Salama is Rasulullah's first cousin. Have you understood this? Amr ibn Abi Salama is his son. So he is also the cousin of Rasulullah, cousin's son. Have you understood? So you got all of the cousins of the Prophet, Abdullah ibn Ja'far, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, Amr ibn Abi Salama. And what does the hadith say? Ya Rasulullah, please take their pledge of allegiance. Just children, but you know, give them that honor. They were shy. Who was shy? Abdullah ibn Ja'far, Amr ibn Abi Salama. Was Abdullah ibn Zubayr shy? He rushed. And when he rushed to the Prophet, look at the pleasure. The Prophet smiled. And what did he say? He goes, he truly is his father's son. In other words, his father's, he goes, nothing stops him. He's, you know, brave. And he goes, he's got that quality. Because he's running towards him. Another amusing incident shows his boldness. In Ibn Asakir in his Tariq Dimishq 7-402, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu once passed by some boys who were playing. So this is the lifetime of the Prophet, right? It's not Umar's Khalifat, it's Rasulullah's lifetime. And he sees some children playing. When the children saw Umar, they ran in different directions, except Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu. So Umar walked over to him. He says, why did you not step aside? So Abdullah ibn Zubayr calmly responded, the road is wide. I don't need to make room for you. I've not made a mistake. I've got no reason to fear you. So Umar radiallahu anhu smiled. He goes, yes, you're right. So let's look at this. So who's scared of Umar? Shaitan. Forget about anybody else. Fully grown up men are scared of him. Right? Women, what did the Prophet say? Famous hadith. I can see Shaitan running from him, jinn running from him, men running from him, women running from him. Did Abdullah ibn Zubayr run from him? He's a child. So children, they say, oh, get out of here quick. Umar's here. He didn't move. So Umar walks right over to him. He goes, why didn't you scamper? And look at this. You can see that, you know, that strength. He goes, it's a wide road. Wide path. I don't need to make room for you. I've not made a mistake. Why should I fear you? So what did the Prophet say? He is his father's son. And just to add this to finish. Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi, who died 597 AH, in his work Awaking from the Sleep of Heedlessness, page 24 of the English translation, he said with regards to children, the intelligence of a child, the level of his ambitions and endeavors are ascertained by observing the choices he makes. For instance, when children gather in order to play, the one with high ambition, earnest endeavor, he would say, who is going to be in my team? Whilst the one with low ambition, slump endeavor, he says, who am I going to play with? It is noteworthy to know that when a child truly has high ambitions and earnest endeavors, he would prefer knowledge over play. So look at these interesting things. Right? These we go to psychologists now. You're paying him for no, you know, every answer is free. Just study your deen. So what did Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi say? He goes, you can determine a child's intelligence by the choices he makes or she makes. And look how simple example he gives. You see children playing. The one with high ambition goes, who's going to be on my team? Because he's got high ambitions. The ones who have low ambitions, he goes, who's going to play with me? And then he goes, similarly, if they've got very high ambition, they don't even play. Because they learn. Why have I mentioned this here? Go back to Abdullah ibn Zubair. Who's teaching him? Like I told you, you know, I'm just not just mentioning his name for the fun of it. He's growing up in the lap of Abu Bakr, his grandfather. He's growing up in the lap of Safiya, his grandmother. He's growing up in the lap of Zubair, his father. He's growing up in the lap of Asma, his mother. He's growing up in the lap of his aunt, Aisha. So he's just grown up with giants. And now you can see these glimpses. He's got that determination. As if Allah Ta'ala is going to, you know, there's a special role he has to play. Abdullah ibn Zubair, radiyallahu anhu. Thus, one should cater for such children that one is blessed with. And we shouldn't find this strange. I'm going to mention this to finish. Safiya, her son was Zubair. And once Zubair got into a scrap, you know, he was young. This is when he was young. And people came running to Safiya. She goes, oh, your son's got into a fight. And Safiya goes, how did he fight? Was he brave? There goes, your son's gone. Why is she asking about how is he fighting? So look at her. You know, she was making sure. He goes, my son's going to be a warrior. What do parents now say? Oh, has he got hurt? Oh, what's happened? Oh, tell me where it is. I need to go and see my son. You find out what can happen to the child. There's no determination. Right? So Safiya put that into her son, Zubair, and he became the special disciple. That's not a coincidence. What do you think Zubair is going to put into his son? Abdullah ibn Zubair. He's one pledge to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he runs, though there's a shy. He goes, yeah, you shy, I'm running. Right? Umar, he's not even bothered. What? Wide path, there's nothing to fear from you. And Umar was happy over that, he was testing him. He goes, MashaAllah, Abdullah ibn Zubair, radiyallahu anhu. So note, even though he's a child, are we not learning lessons? Imagine if you could have, oh brother, you know, your children can teach you. You get insulted by that. Oh, you idiot. You're a man, right? He goes, oh, sahaba. The children can teach you one or two things. Because what they, and you get added, what they gonna, there you go. They're stronger than us in childhood. Right? Look at the, you know, what they're doing, what they're seeing. So note, and this is also very important to go through with your family. Somebody goes, I want role models for my children. If all they're hearing is Beckham, Ronaldo, Messi, you know, actors, actresses, what do you think they're going to, where's their, that's their role model. You go, oh, Abdullah ibn Zubair Putra, have you heard of him? Who's he that? And when you talk about children, the children, they're proper locked on. They love it. What did he do? Yes, Abdullah ibn Zubair. And stay in their heart. You know, one of the youngsters, he mentioned, one of the fathers mentioned, because they were asking, he goes, one of the advisors for the children came. And he goes, what's your ambitions? What do you want to be? And he asked the children, this is a primary school, and one of them goes, I want to be a doctor. Oh, very good. What do you want to be? He goes, I want to be a, you know, engineer. Very good. He asked one of the Muslims, I want to be Sahaba. And the advisor didn't know what he heard about. He goes, Sahaba, what's that? his companion of the Prophet. There you go. So when he's put that into his heart, obviously he can't be a Sahaba, but from a young age he's got his role model, because this is the person I look up to. I want to be like him, I want to walk like him, talk like him, live like him. But are we teaching that to our children? Oh, when they get older, he gets to teenage, he's transgender. Now what are you going to do? Right? You know, tell him about Sahaba now. You don't know if he's a man or a woman. Astaghfirullah. That's why the Prophet taught you at the age of 7, teach them Salat. And at the age of 10, if they're reluctant, then use some force against them. Note, both those ages are before puberty. And then that's not the governing hadith. The governing hadith in Abu Dawood, the Prophet said, teach your children when they can distinguish between their right and left hand. Why? Because you get some brilliant kids. They're 2 years old and they're talking like adults. Right hand, that one, you start now. You don't wait till 7 years old, you're wasting 5 years. Right? But some obviously, you know, maybe it take a bit longer, but as soon as they get to 7, it doesn't matter now, even if they can't tell the difference. You need to now start imbibing into them. And for 5 years at least, you're instructing, educating them. But are we sacrificing for that children? Right? You know, we just think like, oh, they'll grow up into Islam. Is that your, you know, mashallah. When it comes to worldly education, oh, £20,000 private school, you know, boarding, everything, I'll sort everything out. That's your dunya. What about akhirat? Oh, you grow older, you work, yeah, let him live his life. Right? And there you go. You're showing where your values lie. And the beautiful thing is the deen is free. Right? Another, you know, sad thing, I want to mention it. They throw their kids into madrasi. Why? Because they didn't educate them. They go wild. And they'll, yeah, we'll just plunk him in madrasa. How's that going to help him? It's like putting a wild stallion in a stable. Right? Oh, he'll squeeze it. Then find out he really convert everybody inside madrasa. Right? So again, no, you know, you have to, if you're not going to do it for your kids, who are you going to do it for? And notice when you go through the lives of the companions, they were training their children as best they could. So all I mentioned today, again, was now a glimpse into his childhood. And not even from his humble beginnings, we're learning most valuable lessons. SubhanAllah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى المسلمين جميعا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم